Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to our Sunday service. It is good to see everybody out this morning. I'm going to hide my tissue because I was over there crying, doing worship because God is just so good. He is so good. He is so good. He is so good. Amen? Amen. Well, once again, thank you guys for being with us. If you haven't given, you can go ahead and do so now. So feel free to support us. And for those joining us online, you are welcome as well. Thank you for being out with us at our Sunday morning, 11 a.m. service. Amen? Amen. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. This morning, I will be ministering a message titled Breadcrumbs. Breadcrumbs. Coming from Matthew chapter 15. Amen. So this morning, during the first service, Sister Angela said something very interesting. She said that the message that she got was from her personal study time with the Lord. And it really dawned on me that we should all have that study time with the Lord. And even if you might never preach, you should have that time with the Lord because God wants to speak to you. And the only time God should be speaking to you should not just be on Sunday, but every single day as you spend time with the Lord. So just like Sister Angela, my message as well is coming from my personal study time with the Lord. So the first month of the year, I've been going through the book of Matthew, and I stumbled on a very interesting verse that I believe that for many of years, many people have struggled with this verse, trying to grasp what exactly is Jesus saying here. So in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, it reads, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is demon possessed.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" Verse 25. "Then she came and worshiped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Amen. Bow with me real quick. Let's just go to the Lord and just commit the service to him. Heavenly Father, once again, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence. We ask that you just come in here and teach your people, Lord. It is not me, but it is you. You are the teacher. You are the wisdom. You are the truth. You are the life. So we ask that all those things, Father, come into the service this morning, Father. Teach your people, Lord. Feed your people as you do best. Father, once again, we just thank you for all that you are and all that you will be to us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. So we see here that Jesus encounters a woman from the land of Canaan. Now, oftentimes, the first thing that we think about when we read this scripture is, why did Jesus call this woman a little dog? Because as you guys know, woman and the word dogs don't mix, right? So when we read this, we often see it from our context. And this is how we view things in the world. We are a culture that's driven by buzzwords. Democrat, Republican, Black, White, Jewish, Trump, Epstein. We all hear these words and think certain things and put those things in a box. Oh, you voted this way, so you must be this, right? So we think in buzz words. And the first thing that we see here is that why did Jesus call this woman a little dog? Was Jesus being mean? Was he being racist? Was he saying that Jewish people are just better than the Gentiles? See, oftentimes that's how we think, and we miss the actual context of what Jesus is actually saying. So before we address what Jesus said to her, let's first look at what the woman said to him. So in verse 22, it says that she approached and she cried out. She yelled something very strange. "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, we might overlook what she's saying there because we are not a Jewish person in that day. But a Jewish person in that day would have known that this is something strange. See, the people of Canaan and Jews, since day one, they were enemies. God said, "Don't have nothing to do with them. Their God is not your God. They are not clean. They are not saved. Don't speak to them. Don't marry them. Don't have anything to do with them." So a Jewish person of that day would have said, "This is strange." It's almost like if you're going somewhere and you hear a stranger use your childhood nickname, you'd be like, "Who is this? Like, why are you saying that? Son of David, have mercy on me." That should not be coming from the lips of a woman that is from Canaan. Because the title of Son of David is something that is unique to the Jewish people. It stems from the covenant that God made with King David that his seed would have a throne forever. So Jewish boys and girls are raised up knowing that one day a Savior is going to come just like King David, and he will save us and set us free. So a Jewish person of that day would have known that this woman from Canaan does not know what she's saying. Yes, she's saying it, but she doesn't really know the gravity, the actual context of what she's saying. That's why in Matthew 12, verse 23, after Jesus healed the blind and the dumb man, the Jewish people began to cry out, "Could this be the Son of David? Could this be who the prophets wrote about?" So Jewish people knew what Son of David meant. This woman from Canaan did not. So why did she say it? Why did she use a phrase that she had no clue? Why did she think that, I could approach Jesus and say this and actually get him to move from me? Well, move for me. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew 9, verse 27. Because the thing I love about the Bible is that you can read it over and over, and God would just begin to open it up to you slowly. And you see things like this. In Matthew 9, verse 27, it says, "When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.'" Verse 30. And it says, "And their eyes were open. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, 'See that no one knows it.'" Next verse. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. So could it be that this woman heard them say, "We got healed by the Son of David. We got healed by the Son of David." So when she came to him, she said, "Oh, that's how you talk to Jesus. That's the formula. You use the phrase Son of David. Oh, that's how we actually are saved. We wear head coverings here. We don't wear pants when we're women. We wear skirts." See, we all do that. Different denominations have formulas that they think save them. So this woman came to Jesus saying, "Let me use that same phrase. Let me say Son of David and see if Jesus would move on my behalf." And the thing is, we have all done this. We've all heard someone pray powerfully and use some big word, and we think, I'll pray just like them, and God will move for me. I'll fast just like them, and God will move for me. I'll give just like them, and God will move for me. Everyone is looking for a formula, something that they can just say, okay, if I do it just like this, God will actually move just for me. So this woman thought that the formula to getting Jesus to move for her is using that phrase, Son of David. I mean, we've all been to a Baptist church, and the organ is playing, and the pastor starts doing this and this, and that means that, oh, that's the formula for the Spirit to move, right? We've all seen people in churches use formulas to try to say that, oh, when we do A, B, C, D, that means that God is moving. But verse 23 says this, but Jesus answered her not a word. Jesus was not moved by her formula. Jesus heard Son of David and did nothing. Jesus heard Son of David and just stood there like, okay, cool, you know my name, but you don't know me. And verse 24 says this, but he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Jesus wasn't silent because he couldn't do it. He wasn't silent because he refused, but he was silent first because the title Son of David meant that he first had a mission to the house of Israel. He first came for Israel. He did not come for the Gentile first. He first came for Israel. And in verse 25, something interesting happens. It says that so after Jesus said that, it says, then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. So she dropped the Son of David. See, the first time she came crying out, Jesus, Son of David, help me. Tears coming down, yelling, thinking that by screaming, by her voice, by the title, by doing religious things, God would hear her. But the second time, she said, okay, well, that didn't work. Let me just come and just speak normal. Let me just come and just talk to him. Let me just ask him for mercy. Let me not try to put on this show and think that by raising my voice, by screaming loud, by knowing the Greek and the Hebrew, that God is somehow going to hear me more. Let me humble myself and simply come and worship. And worship. See, the first time she came asking, she came saying, oh, I know this name and this name is going to work. Second time she came and just worship and saying, Lord, help me. See, how many times do we do that? We go to God thinking that we have a recipe that is going to work. And God is like, just come by faith or just come like a child. Like, my daughter doesn't even know my full name, but she gets anything that she wants from me. How much more is God like that? See, we don't have to know the Greek and the Hebrew and this name and that name and all these things to have access to God. We simply come by faith. I know that recently there's been this move of, let's not call him Jesus. Let's call him by his Jewish name, Yeshua, because that, you know, that just makes it feel like we have more access to him. And it's like, who says? Like, where in the Bible does it say, don't call him Jesus, call him Yeshua? But we make these man-made rules, formulas of ways and things that we think that if we just do this, that God is going to answer us quicker. But we see here that Jesus was not moved. Jesus did not move because she knew his Jewish title of Son of David. And then in verse 26, Jesus responds to her once again and said, but he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. So Jesus says, it is not good. So once again, Jesus is not saying no, but he's saying that there is a divine order to how the gospel is to be spread, which is why Paul said that it's first to the Jew, then the Gentile. So Jesus, he's not saying no, but he's saying that there is a way to do this. And we even know this by Mark 7, verse 27, because in that same, in that verse, it's the same story, and it says it this way. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first. So first doesn't mean better. First doesn't mean only. It just means that Jesus had a divine order from heaven on how he was to move about on earth. So Jesus says, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now, once again, this is where everybody seems to get tripped up on, because is Jesus calling a woman a dog? Is Jesus being rude? Is he being mean? What does he mean by this? Is there some kind of context that we don't see, that we don't know? Is there something that is beyond the eye that we need to dig into? See, we don't mind when Jesus calls the Pharisees a brood of vipers. We don't mind that. You know, we don't mind when he calls them, you know, sons of the devil. We don't mind that, right? But for some reason, we kind of cringe when it says he called her a little dog. So we're going to just look at that real quick. If you don't mind, show the graphic, please, if you have a second media. There's a graphic on there. Because the word that Jesus used meant little dog, puppy, or house dog. And if you actually look at the Greek, you will see that two different words are used. So that's just a simple way of saying that Jesus wasn't being rude. He wasn't being mean. He wasn't trying to cast her down. But even then, I feel like we have made too big of a deal that we miss the point of what Jesus is saying. We've missed the actual heart of what this scripture is saying. Because who is the Bible about? Me, you, or Jesus? Okay, so why is it that when we read the story, the first thing that we think about is little dogs? Why is it that we miss what this story is really about? Because this story is not about who the child is. This story is not about who the dog is. This story is about the bread. This story is about the bread. This story is about Jesus being the bread. In John 6, verse 48, Jesus, he comes and he tells the people of Israel, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And in verse 50, he says this, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. But instead of the children, instead of the Jews to receive the bread, what do? They argue. And eventually they reject the bread. They throw the bread down. They crucify the bread. And verse 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back to what they left behind and no longer walked with him. So Jesus came as the bread of life to the Jewish people, but they rejected the bread. They threw the bread down. And what happens when you throw bread to the ground? Crumbs. Breadcrumbs. So Jesus became the breadcrumbs because the Jewish people rejected him. They crucified him, which is why Jesus would say things like, this is my body broken for you. I become the breadcrumbs for you. I become the broken bread for you. So the greatest issue in the story is not, oh, why is he calling her a dog? No, the greatest issue is bread has come and no one wants to eat the bread. Jews don't want it. Gentiles don't want the bread. Jesus has come in the flesh and nobody wants to eat the bread that God has provided. But by some kind of revelation, by humbling herself, the Canaanite woman says, God, I don't care what you call me. I want the bread. I'm not entitled. Call me whatever you want to call me. Even if it's crumbs, I'll take it. I will humble myself and eat the bread that's left over. And to that, he said, oh, woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. See, great faith is not about formulas. It's not about I do A, B, C, D to get God to do X, Y, Z. Great faith is knowing that no matter what the world calls me, I can have access to the Father if I simply humble myself. Simply come to him and say, God, I know I'm not worthy. I don't deserve the bread. I am not a Jew. I am a Gentile. I was far off. I was an enemy of the cross. But yet, you saved me. Yet, you sent your son to die for me. Yet, your body was broken for me. And by coming to Jesus humble and by faith, this woman stepped into her own revelation. See, the first time she came with the revelation of somebody else. Son of David, have mercy on me. Had no clue what she was saying. But after she humbled herself, came and worshiped and simply saying, Lord, help me. She stepped into her own revelation, something that she can go back home and said, I have found the bread of life. And he gave me crumbs. And those little crumbs have given me eternal life. So we see here that it's not about formulas. Like the Canaanites, we are also little dogs. We are also enemies of Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent his son to die for you and for me. And yes, we are undeserving to be at the table. We don't deserve bread. But because his body was broken, now we have life. Now we have been given life through the body. So this morning, there is no magic words. There is no special tongues. There is no thing that you can say that just makes life magically better. We come by faith because faith is the only way that we can please God. We enter by faith, not by works, not by knowing the Hebrew or the Greek, not by even being a Jew, not by being a black Hebrew Israelite. We come by faith. Like, we don't have to be that. We come by faith. We enter by faith. We enter knowing that no one is worthy. Even the Jew is not worthy. Why? Because they rejected him. So we see here that there is no magic words. There's only you and your faith in Christ. And Hebrews 11 says this. Hebrews 11:6. I'll close with this. But without faith, it is impossible. Impossible. Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Not that he's the son of David. That he is. Before David was, he is. He is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Seek him. Not his title. Not what he can give, but him. And James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen? So this morning, the message is simple, very simple. Like the woman from Canaan, we are undeserving of this bread. We don't deserve their bread of life. But in his mercy, Jesus hasn't broken for us. He's become the very breadcrumbs that give us life. So, Father, we just come before you this morning, knowing that we are undeserving of what you have for us, knowing that we could not work this out. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot go to the cross for ourselves. We simply humble ourselves this morning and come before you. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for going before us. We thank you for making a way. We thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Because if we had to qualify, Father, no man would. If we had to earn it, Father, no man could, Father. But by your grace and mercy, by the fact that you chose to lay your life down for us, you chose for your body to be broken for us, Father, we can enter in. We can enter in by faith. We can enter in by faith. So, Father, once again, we just thank you this morning. Help us not to be a people that are looking for formula. Help us not to be a people that are looking for some kind of tip or trick or way to move you. But help us to be those who simply come by faith, who simply want to spend time with you, who simply want to get to know you for you, who simply want to press in and to know you for you. So, Father, once again, we thank you and we honor you for your word this morning. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. One word, and that's breadcrumbs, right? Oh, Jesus is the bread of life. And there's enough for each and every one of us. Just a piece of it is enough for every single one of us. God is so good. Let's give it up for Pastor Ike and for God just downloading that message into his spirit so that he could give it to each and every one of us. We're going to go ahead and get into the quick announcements and then I'll pray. So the first thing, if you have not been able to give as of yet, this is your opportunity to do so. The second thing is that on February 21st and 22nd, Torrance Nash will be here with us. And so he'll be here for both services on Sunday and he'll be here on Saturday as well. And we want to say thank you to everyone who supported us with that Pakistan orphanage. There will be images hopefully next week that we'll be able to see all the things that we've done. And so let's stand and let's bow before the Lord. Heavenly Father God, God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you sent your son to provide the bread and the breadcrumbs for us, Lord, that we could live off of it for the rest of our lives, oh God. We know that things come by having faith and having hope, Lord God, and trusting and knowing who you are, oh Jesus. And so, God, we thank you again just for the opportunity to receive this word, that it was downloaded into our spirits. We pray that we would chew on it, God, and that it would digest in our bodies and that we would be able to give it to somebody else, oh Lord. And so, God, we thank you again for just the obedience of even Angela this morning and Ike this afternoon, Lord God. And we just pray that the word will go forth, oh God. And so, Jesus, we thank you again for all that you are and who you are to us. Lord, as we get ready to leave this place, cover us as we go to our next destination, oh God, and be with us throughout the rest of the week. And we hope to see everyone here back on Wednesday. So, God, we love you, we honor you, and we lift you up. It's in your son Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Amen. And you are dismissed.